I'm Laura McNamara speaking with Simon Blackmore, and he's the project manager of Future Farm, which is the idea of the next generation farm in Europe. And I know you have seven different things that are pretty much key to what comprises this. The one that stood out to me was the fact that you guys don't necessarily want to develop new technologies, but integrate ones that already exist. But I'll go ahead and let you summarize it.
Okay, thanks. Yes, the purpose of Future Farm is to take a lot of the technologies and processes that we've been developing within precision agriculture and actually integrate them together into a farm management information system. So we're not going to be developing necessarily any new technologies or any real new ideas, but actually learn how to bring them together. And the purpose of this, as you know, with precision agriculture, it's many of the scientific approaches we've taken has made agriculture or precision agriculture too difficult for many farmers. And so the purpose of integrating all these together within a farm management information system is to try and help to simplify some of these issues. But we're trying to do it at a higher level than perhaps even at just one farm, because this is part of the European Union development within the agriculture area. And the whole concept of Future Farm is to develop a number of different systems that will allow us to move ahead or be able to see what's going to happen in the future. So within Future Farm, the main area is to develop a farm management information system, but we're also looking at the socio-economic aspects, looking at biofuels, and also having one part looking at robotics.
It's interesting that you say you want to develop the information that's already out there, because a lot of the experts that I listen to, they say, well, this technique's actually been around for several years. It's just not been implemented on a widespread basis.
Well, that's an issue of adoption, and I've done some papers on adoption where we've been looking at why precision farming hasn't actually gone into the mainstream. And one of the main reasons is, as I've said, that this level of complexity. As scientists and engineers, we can produce a map of many different things, soil types, moisture holding capacity, nutrients, and so on. But actually, how many of these things are relevant to a management decision? And secondly, is that even if they are relevant, the tools are not necessarily available to make them easily available to the farmer. So another aspect to the problem with adoption of precision farming is the timeliness. And so therefore, we have the knowledge, but we don't necessarily have all of the tools, and those tools are not integrated. So these are the aspects that we're going to try and deal with.
And as I understand it, dissemination of this information that you do develop and compile then is a big key to Future Farm?
Yes. When we looked at this overall project, we looked at all the different things that we needed to do within it and broke the whole project into eight work packages. But in fact, the largest work package of the whole project is to do with demonstration and dissemination. So the demonstration side of it is that we have four farms, one in Denmark, one in Germany, one in Czech Republic, and one in Greece. So we're going right from North Europe to Southern Europe, which hopefully we can then say is representative of many farms. And we will actually be demonstrating this farm management information system on these four farms. But we also need to disseminate this information. So we're going to disseminate the results from this work through, the normal scientific routes, through the conferences and papers. But also we then want to make the general farming public more aware of this then through the press as well.
Okay. And obviously, as a project manager of Future Farm, precision agriculture is big in your book, but just how big do you think it is for farmers to start embracing this?
Well, it's a classic question. I mean, if you've got significant variability, both spatial and temporal, then it might be worth doing something about it. But in fact, what we're moving towards now more is what we call information-intensive agriculture. So it doesn't necessarily say it's just dealing with spatial and temporal variability. but that there is a lot of data that needs to be crunched and understood and dealt with to allow farms to be able to get on with managing these things. So we do we recognise that the information in intensive nature is both can be seen as a support, can be seen as useful, but also can be seen as a barrier to adoption. What we're really looking for is the big easy button.
Right. And do you think farmers want to adopt?
I think we have seen enough cases where the early adopters are happy to take on new technologies. They're happy to try out things even at their own expense. But of course the real issue is, does it pay? And any time that we've got a situation where there is a clear end result that comes up with making money, farmers are quite happy to, in my experience, farmers are quite happy to invest in new technologies. But I mean, we've seen the sudden growth and very ready adoption of straight line assist and auto steer, because there's been clear economic benefit from doing it. And so therefore, with any new technology that we try to introduce within the farming sector, it's got to now, I think, have a clear end result that is a clear economic benefit.
I wanted to touch again on the biofuels idea and how you consider it a closed-loop system and ultimately self-sustaining farm.
Biofuels are obviously a hot topic at the moment. It seems everybody is dividing into two camps, the pro and the anti. But I think that when we look at this in terms of energy systems, agriculture uses a lot of energy. We're seeing the cost of energy going up all the time, and I think it's going to stay high. And so therefore, looking at ways in which we can reduce energy is important. One way of doing this, I think, is to look at closed-loop systems on the farm. This is nothing new. When farmers used to have horses as their prime motive, then they would be fed, obviously, from the farm. So a certain area would be put to one side for feeding the horses. Well, I think that we've got the same opportunity now with the tractors, because we can grow energy crops. And if we can then develop, I would like to see the development of on-farm processing systems that would then be able to take a raw product from the field, put it through a simple process, and end up with something that we could actually then put inside an engine or use for heating and so on. We can then be able to have a closed-loop system on the farm, which would then be significant economic benefit for the farmers.
Speaking of biofuels and energy crops, your thoughts on the food versus fuel debate, or is it even a debate in your mind?
A lot of people are saying that the price of food is going up because of the use of the potential foodstuffs for energy. I had a colleague that looked at this and found that there was the rise in price of food. You could only attribute 8% of the rise of price in food due to biofuels. That might not necessarily be true in certain areas, particularly where you're getting monocrops. But there is a lot of talk about biofuels as being the reason for food going up. I don't think that is necessarily the case. It's amazing, really, that we are having this discussion, because it wasn't very many years ago that we were talking about limiting the amount of crops that we actually produce. I don't think that we are anywhere near the potential limit of the capability of growing food anyway. If we are getting limited food in certain areas of the world, that's not an agricultural issue, that's a political issue. And we can, in Europe, we for many years have been having this set-aside scheme where the European Union has been paying farmers not to grow crops, and where we've got fields that are sitting fallow, nothing growing in them. And so the capability even if we're not even talking about new technologies, the capability of increasing crop or food or energy production is still much bigger than I think that that people are estimating at the moment.
So it shouldn't even be an existing debate.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we're anywhere near the limiting factors for production at the moment. I think we've got a long way to go yet.
Okay. And finally, we're going to do a separate interview about this, but I know it's a part of the future farm, so maybe just touch on robotics and how they would fit in.
Well, one of the aspects within Future Farm is to demonstrate the potential of small smart machines or robotics. So we're going to have an event next year called Field Robot Event on fieldrobot.nl as the URL. And we will be inviting robots from all around Europe to come and demonstrate what they can do. And so therefore, part of this then will be to raise farmers' awareness of what level of automation we can get to at the moment.
One more question, is Future Farm something people can get involved with, additional farmers or research teams or anything like that?
We are set up as a European project. But many people around the world are very interested in looking at our vision and what the potentials might be in the future. And I encourage organizations from around the world to contact me to see if we can collaborate in the future, because I think if we are going to try and spearhead this, then it would be a good thing to be able to join up with other groups around the world to be able to share experiences in this area.
Where would be the best place to either contact you or find information?
We have a website, www.futurefarm.eu, and you can find out more information on that website. It's not fully populated yet. We've only just started the project. Or you can contact me on my email, which is on that site as well.
I think that wraps it up for this one. Anything you want to add?
No, I think it's an exciting time, really. Very enthusiastic about all these new developments and coming to this conference. It's been fascinating talking to different people, and loads of people are coming up and asking questions. So it's obviously a hot topic. And I hope that we can develop it so that we do get the results that we're all looking for.
Thank you, Simon.